For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stanley. I've been fellowshipping in this church for the last 4 years. And I was born in the Middle East, and by God's grace, I've been saved 15 years ago. And today, I would like to share about faith, because today we live in a day where a lot of people are following different gods and different religions. There are a lot of man-made religions where people follow, and they call it as their faith towards their own gods. Therefore, it is really important to be sure that our faith in God is according to the Word of God and not according to the tradition of men with their man-made doctrines and teachings. So it is good to judge ourselves if we are heading in the right direction according to the words of Christ. Or are we being deceived because we don't love the truth about God's word? Or are we completely dishonoring the word of God, the name of God in our lives and our witness for Christ? So it is good to judge if our faith corresponds to the very words of God. So today I would like to share about a man in the Old Testament who walked by faith and the way he worshipped the Lord our Father. It is about Abraham and his journey. Abraham is a man who walked by faith, and the way he worshipped God gives us an example what it means to worship God. So, Abraham believed the Lord and his word. So as we read in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1 to 3, God called Abraham first. He said to leave the country, set apart from all your home, all your country and all your people, and go to the place where I'm asking you to go. So when Abraham heard the word of God, he immediately believed and obeyed God, and he left all his country and his relatives and went to Canaan as per Lot's word. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 8 says, by faith Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed God, going to a place where he don't know where he was heading, and he received an inheritance. So he went to a place where he hasn't been before, and he doesn't know anything about that place, but he trusts the Lord and he believed God and his word. So after many years, the Lord kept his word as Abraham and Sarah were childless in their marriage, and the Lord told them, you go there and I'll give you a descendant. And the Lord kept his word for Abraham, and Isaac was born through the promise after 25 years going to the place. So Genesis chapter 21 verse 6, we see that how the Lord exactly did according to his word and what he promised to Abraham. So Abraham was 100 years old at that time when Isaac was born, and Sarah was filled with joy. The next one I would like to share is the Lord tests Abraham's faith. He said in Genesis chapter 22 verse 2, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering. So we see that as Abraham was walking with the Lord in his journey of faith, the Lord is testing him now. Is he really obedient to my word? Is he really loving me and fearing me than all the things of this world which I have given him? So a few years later, we see that how Abraham immediately he obeyed God. Previously, we saw in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, when God called Abraham, Abraham left everything, his father's house, and he obeyed God. But now, the Lord wanted to test, is he going to obey in a more difficult situation to obey me? If he really obeys me during the hardest of times. So, Abraham's response was in Genesis chapter 22, verse 3 to 4. He immediately rose up early in the morning and he took two of his servants. So it's very easy to forget our first love when we have everything we need in this world, when all our needs are met. But in the same way, Abraham had a test. He longed to have a child for many, many years, and the Lord did according to his word. The Lord told him, I will give you a child, and your descendants will be many. But now he's got a son, his only son whom he loved. But the Lord wanted to test Abraham if he will follow God. So Genesis chapter 2, we see how Abraham reached that place of Moriah. It took them 3 days. He took his son Isaac and his two servants along with him. So 3 days, I couldn't have imagined what Abraham was going through in his mind in his 3 day journey. And God gave Abraham the time to think about the cost. He gave them the time because God will not force anyone to do his will. And it is very clear in Abraham's life that the Lord did not force Abraham. That Abraham, he obeyed. He has to obey. If he not, it's his choice because it is his will whether he has to obey God's will or not. But the Lord wanted to see if he'll obey God's word. So Abraham didn't tell his two servants also that he's going to offer his son Isaac on the altar. And even Isaac didn't know at that time. So in verse 5 we read that Abraham said to his young man, we have everything we have to worship. But where is the sacrifice? In verse 6 he says, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham says that we will trust the Lord and the Lord will provide it. So obedience to God's word requires a sacrifice to pay. And the sacrifice Abraham was going to pay was a very costly sacrifice. Because it was not the animals, but it was his own son whom he loved. For Abraham, it could have been very easy to offer an animal as a sacrifice. There is little cost involved to do that. Knowing Abraham was wealthy and he had a lot of animals, but offering his son, his only son whom he loved, was very difficult for Abraham and it involved a lot of cost for him. But he was ready to do it in order to obey the words of God. So Abraham showed deeper faith in God by obeying God's will. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father. Father, everything is ready, the fire, the wood, even the knife is ready. Where is the lamb? Abraham said in verse 8 that the Lord will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them walked on together. Abraham showed his faith in God in response to his Isaac also through his word that the Lord will provide himself a burnt offering. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. God gave Isaac. If the Lord wants, he can raise Isaac after I kill him. So then we see how Abraham stretched out his hand. He was ready to he went to the place of Moriah where the Lord asked him to go. He built an altar there before sacrificing Isaac. He arranged the wood, he took his son, and he stretched out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. And immediately the Lord interrupted. Abraham, Abraham, and Abraham responded, here I am. The Lord said, don't lay a hand on the boy, don't hurt him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. God knew that if he wouldn't have interrupted Abraham, Isaac would have been killed that day. God knew that. At the same time, didn't God know that Abraham feared God all his walk and the three days journey? Didn't God know, knowing all the thoughts and everything? Why did the Lord have to wait till Abraham stretch his hand and kill his only Isaac with a knife? I believe because God was waiting to see if Abraham would have refused to kill Isaac even at the last minute of his life. So Abraham's action of his faith made it complete. So faith and action work together. We read in James chapter 2 verse 21 and 22, was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his action were working together and his faith was made complete by what he did. So we read that how it is important to express our faith even in our actions. The Lord made a promise to Abraham. He said that if you sacrifice your son, and that's how, if you obey me and if you walk in my way, then I will make you a blessing. So as per Abraham's faith, we read in Genesis chapter 22, we read that how the Lord was willing to kill Isaac on the altar. God was not pleased in sacrificing Isaac on the altar, but he wanted to know and see if Abraham feared God by willing to sacrifice his own will that day and to surrender to God's word. Through Christ, we share the blessing of Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 22 verse 18, God said, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." The Lord made a promise to Abraham. He said that through your seed, all the nations shall be blessed because you obeyed me. And the Lord fulfilled this promise through Christ after many, many years. And Christ is that seed of Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 verse 16, it says, "Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed." He does not say "and to his seeds" or descendants as referring to many, but rather to one seed, and that is Christ. So in order for God to fulfill this very promise he gave Abraham, Christ have to come into this world to become a curse for us. He has to die for us on the cross. It says in Galatians 3 verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree.'" That's a verse in the Old Testament. Many, many years before Christ came into this world to die on the cross, God said, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree." So in verse 14, Galatians 3 verse 14, in order that Christ Jesus came into this world, the blessing might come to the Gentiles. So because Christ came into this world, we now share the blessing of Abraham. We now share what the Lord has promised Abraham. We used to be enemies of God, as the word says in Ephesians 2 verse 13. But now Christ has redeemed us by his blood, by his suffering, by his death on the cross. It is only by Christ dying on the cross and by shedding of his blood. Now those who come to Christ will share the same blessing what the Lord had promised to Abraham. Ephesians 5 verse 2, the last part, it says, "Christ gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." We read before how Abraham offered his only son to God to worship the Lord. And now in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, it says that Christ gave himself up for him, himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. God's will and not the will of Christ. When Jesus came into this world, he came with the same body as we have, the same flesh and the same blood. And when he was in heaven, his will and the Father's will were one. But now because he has come down to become a curse for us, he was made in every respect just like us, so that we can follow God. We can follow Christ. We cannot follow any angels because the angels don't have the same body like us. But we can follow Christ because Christ came in the same body like us. And this is what Christ said in John chapter 6 verse 38. "For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me." And Jesus didn't stop there. He said in the same verse, "not to do my will." He came down into this world to do God's will, and he also said, "not to do my will." And in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 7 also says, it talks about Christ, "Then I said, 'Behold, I have come. It's written in the scroll of me to do your will, O God.'" So this shows that Christ had a will on his own. He could have rejected the cross also if he wanted to, because he didn't do any sin. So he had a will on his own. But he was willing to do God's will for Christ. So Christ has to deny it on a Gethsemane. So we read how Christ had the struggle of his will and God's will. Matthew chapter 26 verse 38 and 39. He said to them, Jesus, when he was going to die on the cross the previous night, he said to his disciples, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." The only time Jesus wanted his disciples to pray with him. Jesus was willing to sacrifice everything for everyone. He was ready to heal miracles, do all kind of wondrous things in this world. But the only time he's asking his disciples, "Can you please join with me in prayer? Because my soul is so deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and he was alone. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Jesus was honest in his prayer. He came down into this world to do God's will. But here, he's being honest. He's the struggle he's going through. His will and God's will. He came down in a very purpose to obey God's word in every way. We know that Christ obeyed God's word in everything. On the cross, when he was around 33 and a half years old or something. But he also obeyed God's will right from the start as being a carpenter, in obedience to his mom, his dad, loving his children. In every way, he did God's will. So before dying on the cross, in his wisdom, he knew that his time was up. And after saying the prayer three times, he said the same prayer three times. "Father, again and again, please take this cup away from me." But he refused to do his own will. And he did the Father's will by taking up the cross and by dying. This offering of Christ was a fragrant aroma for God. This is what the Lord was pleased with. God was very pleased with the sacrifice of Christ because there was no sin in him. If he did sin, if he did commit even one sin, he couldn't be the perfect sacrifice for us. But all his life, he denied his own will and he lived for Christ, even to the point of dying on the cross. So, the spiritual descendants of Abraham. Galatians 3 verse 7 says, "Therefore, be sure that it is those of who are of faith are the sons and children of Abraham." The same in 3 verse 29. If you belong to Christ, not any other God, but if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. So therefore, if we come to Christ, we have the same privilege of Abraham, being a blessing and being a blessing to others. Are we worshiping the Lord today? Since we are the descendants of Abraham through Christ, how are we worshiping the Lord? Are we just saying that we believe in God or just worshiping the Lord in truth? Because even the demons believed in God. James says that. Even the demons believe there's one God and they tremble. But are we just saying that, yes, I believe in God with our words and not corresponding with our life? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 verse 1. It says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." So this is a spiritual service of worship for the new covenant believers like us today. So how can we worship God? It is by presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. The Amplified Version says, "I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves, setting apart everything out from the world as a living sacrifice." God doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. He wants a holy sacrifice. Holy, which is pleasing to the Lord with our life, with our mind, with our heart, with our words, with our eyes, with our hands, with our legs, with our soul, with every part of our body. He wants a living and holy sacrifice. And that's the way we can worship God today. And that's his word. That's the word of God in the New Testament. So, just like Abraham obeyed God's word by offering his son Isaac on the altar, and that's how he worshipped. He told his servants, we are going to worship, me and my son, we are going to worship the Lord. And that's how he worshipped God, Abraham, in his time. Not today, in his time. And Jesus, many, many years later, on Gethsemane, we know how he died on the cross, but in Gethsemane, he prayed, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And he died for us on the cross. So today, if we claim to be a follower and believer of Christ, are we living a life pleasing to the Lord? Is our life being an aroma for Christ? God wants us to give up our own will so that we can obey his will. Every sacrifice has a cost, just like we saw in Abraham, just like we saw in Christ. So, just like Christ died for us, how can we be a living sacrifice for God? Romans chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Verse 11 says, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Consider yourselves, because Christ died for you. He gave everything for you. So now live for Christ. Consider yourself dead to sin. It's only for that very sin Christ came into this world. So why do you live in sin? Why do you want to continue in this sin? It's not that we have to be perfect in every way. But according to the light we have, God's word, it's like me expecting my children to be like a 10-year-old. It's impossible. According to the light, according to the age, I can expect a few things. So even God, according to our light we have, the word, the knowledge we have, according to his will, he will expect us to do his will, to give the very best for Christ. So the next verse, do not go on presenting the members of your body, verse 13, as instrument of sin for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as though alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. That is how we can worship the living God today, by being a living witness for Christ and a holy sacrifice. It is by denying our self-will and a desire to do the will of God. It doesn't have to be perfect, but a desire, when we slip up, when we fall, a desire to repent and come to God by faith, a desire to clean ourselves, setting apart from the world, by faith, through faith. It is the desire to give the very best for Christ as an offering to the Lord. That is what pleases the Lord. It is depending on the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to give up on the flesh. You have to give up trying to be a follower of Christ. It's only when you give up, you become a follower. You walk in spirit, not according to your flesh, not according to the way, the sin will not control you according to the way you live. So are we able to obey God's word and worship the Lord today? If we confess, God is faithful and he will make us clean from all iniquities. Faith is demonstrated outward by obeying the words of Christ, which is inward. I do not emphasize that we have to show our faith by works, to do this, that, and all. No, it is to have a faith pleasing to God to do the very best in everything. You might be a homemaker. Do the very best for God in your home by raising your children for the Lord. You might be working in a work. Do the very best for God by not lying about someone or gossiping or, you know, hurting someone in any ways through your words. If you're living in any way, if you're a minister or anything, Sunday school leader or even dishwasher, doesn't matter. Let's do it for the Lord, for his glory. Just like Abraham, I would like to share a bit of myself. It is through Christ I'm here. My life was heading in a very wrong direction. I've lived in 5 different countries in my life. And all the 5 countries I moved, it's only after coming to know the Christ. So God was with me all the time, even though I was not walking with the Lord. And I've been a born-again Christian for 15 years. And honestly, I've been a hypocrite all my life. For even the first 12 years of my Christian life, I've been a big hypocrite. because I didn't know that. I thought you can be a Christian and you can be like the world too. You can hate the people, you can judge them inwardly, outwardly, you can have bitterness, you can do everything. So that's how I've been living for the first 12 years of my Christian life. I didn't know that you have to have a desire to overcome sin because Christ died for you. You should have a desire to please Lord in every way with your words, with your actions. I didn't know anything of that. So first 12 years, I was really running the race for nothing. I was running my faith for nothing. But eventually what happened, it affected even my marriage life because of my struggle towards anger and towards all bitterness and everything. My marriage life also affected. But thanks to God, when I was having a when the doctors told me you're expecting your first baby, I was like, Lord, what have you done? I'm not here. I can't even help myself. How am I going to raise this child now for you? What am I going to do on this earth? But I was so disappointed with my Christian life. So disappointed. So couldn't do anything. I knew in my heart that this is not the way to live. But so much guilt, so much disappointment, so much discouragement. But thanks to God, God told me, okay, if you want to overcome all this, you need to do one thing. And I was like, what is that? Don't fight with flesh and blood. The moment you stop with flesh and blood, you will overcome this. You will overcome anger. You're not fighting with flesh and blood. You're fighting with the devil. The devil, it says, if you get angry, he has a foothold in you. You can be a believer, and he can still have a foothold in you. And that's how the devil had his foothold in my life for many, many years. I didn't know it. With the way I live, I thought it's okay to come to church once in a week and to live like the rest of the world, shouting, bitterness, anger, and judging others. But I was not progressing in my Christian life. The Lord told, no, this is how you have to live for Christ. And it's all by His mercy that I got to know this. Or else I would be lost today. And thanks to God that I'm here today, it's by God's grace. And there is victory over sin. God wants us to free us from all sin. According to the light you have, you may not know something in the verse, like anger is equal to murder. I didn't know for many, many years. I didn't take it seriously. Jesus said, if you get angry, it's equal to murder. In the Old Testament, they believed murder means, oh, we shouldn't murder. But in the New Testament, people, we can get angry. But it doesn't affect us. We slip up and we do the same thing again and again. We don't repent and have faith in God and give a pleasing aroma to Christ with our life, with our emotions. It's not there. So in the coming days, dear brothers and sisters, let us live a life pleasing to the Lord. And let us worship Him as a pleasing sacrifice to God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You and we praise Thee for all that You have done for us on the cross. To fulfill the promise You gave to Abraham, You came down into this world and died for us on the cross. Lord, thank You for this privilege. We don't deserve anything, Lord. We don't deserve. The only thing we deserve is hell. But You came down into this world. So You became a curse so that we will be a blessing. You took all our curse upon You. So thank You, Lord. Help us to walk in the light You have given us. Help us to have a desire to know Thee more, to know Thy will more, and to be anxious for nothing but to do Thy will. Thank You, Lord, for everything. We bless everyone here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.